The last few daf in Masechta Shabbos are dealing with Matan Torah, and since we know that Ein Mugdam U'Mukha B'Torah, I'm going to speak a little bit today about Matan Torah, but we're going to see its relevance to us nowadays also, and especially in the light of the Maral Sefer called Tiferes Yisrael, who dedicated the whole Sefer to Matan Torah. In the Gemara Shabbos that they've opened with base, it's brought down, Tanu Rabbanan, B'shishi B'chodesh Nitnu Aseres Adibus Yisrael, Rabbi Yotzi Omer, B'shivabo. Omer Rav, the Kula Amo V'Rish Chodesh Osu L'mid Bar Sinai, and the Kula Amo V'Shabbos Nitnu Tarel Yisrael, Ki Pligi B'Kvi Adiyecha. So Matan Torah is unique that we know the day of the week that it was given, but there's a machlekes as what was the day of the month. Was it Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan? It was definitely Shabbos, but the question was Rosh Chodesh on a Sunday, and therefore Shabbos was Zayin Sivan, or is Rosh Chodesh on a Monday, and it was Vav Sivan? That's the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pevav Amud Beis. The next step, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Pezayin Amud Beis, Tashma, Nisan Shabbos Yotzi Yisrael Min Yisrael, Ba'abar Sashot Chupisem, Ubechamisha Asar Yotzi, Ula Erev Lokup Chores, meaning the Gemara is saying that Yitzias Mitzrayim happened on a Thursday. So it comes out that Yitzias Mitzrayim was on a Thursday, and 7 weeks later on the Shabbos was the giving over of the Torah that we heard that says the Divus. So question number one that is correct to focus on, which is a very known question, is if we count from Thursday 7 weeks later to Shabbos, there's no way out of it. It's 51 days. And we always have our Shavuos commemorated 50 days after Matan Torah. Let's take this year. This year was, Leila Seder was a Moshe Shabbos, right, a Sunday. And Shavuos was on Monday, Sunday night. Remember we all stayed up Sunday night? We're still tired today from that night that we stayed up. So, the kids, so you see at the time was on a Sunday this year. And Shavuos, 7 weeks later, was on a Monday. That's called 50 days. However, in the original plan, when it happened in Dora Midbar, there were 51 days separating Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. From Thursday to Shabbos, 7 weeks later, that's 51 days. So why is our Shabbos, why is our Shavuos on the 50th day when in Dora Midbar it took place on the 51st day? This is probably one of the most basic questions on Chag HaShavuos. This question the Ma'asher asks in Chidush HaGadol Se'avad Zarah, the Magen Avraham asks it also in the Shulchan Aruch. Here it's brought down in Bak Shvav, those who have the sheep. Yesh Ladagdik B'sugi L'Pek Rabbi Akiva, that's Shloshan HaMa'asher, to plead you Rabbanu Rabbi Yossi de Rabbanon Tzavi B'shish L'Chodesh Nitna Tara, Rabbi Yossi Rama B'shiva Bo, U'Lekula Amma B'Shabbos Nitna Tara Ayin Sham. Yes, that's the question here. So according to everybody, Torah was given on the 51st day. Why is our Shavuos 24 hours premature? That's the Maharsha's question. And you could add just one more question. That's what's unique also about Chag HaShavuos is that it's a Yom Tov. There's a new law in America that an employee who doesn't show up to work because of religious reasons, so he cannot be fired for that. So I read once in the Jerusalem Post that a Jewish employee said, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, I show to my employer a shofar. When it comes to Sukkot, I show him Arba Minim. Comes Pesach, I show him a matzah. When it comes to Shavuos, I don't know what to show him. What should I show him? Cheesecake? I don't know what to show. Which is really touching on a point that Shavuos is the only Yom Tov that there's no mitzvah Zayom. It's just a Yom Tov. There's Issur Melacha, Mikra Kodesh, but there's no mitzvah Zayom unique to Shavuos. Why not? Let's call that question number two. So question number one is the Maharsha's question. How come we celebrate Shavuos 50 days after Matan Torah when originally it was given, assessments were given on the 51st day? And question number two, how come Shavuos is a Yom Tov which lacks any Mitzvah Zayom? Okay. Well, again, let's go a little bit wider. It says in the Torah, Vayahu Elokim es kol ha'asher asa v'hinei tov me'od, v'hi erev, v'hi boker yom ha-shishi. That's what the Torah says. Now, the previous days it said chamishi, v'hi, it did not say he'ayudia. Here it says yom ha-shishi. So Rashi explains over there in one of his Zayin, yom ha-shishi, kulam tluyim ve'omdim, ad yom ha-shishi, hu shishi besivan, ha-mukhan le'matnda. Meaning, according to Rashi's second beer, Shishi is not referring to Friday, rather Shishi is referring to not the first Friday of the Bria, but the Shishi B'Sivan. So, what will Rabbi Yossi, the sense of the Torah, was given on Shivi B'Sivan? Like we learned in the Gemara and Shabbos, on Daf Pevav, how will he get along with this Pasuk? It says, Vayi Berk Vayi Boke Yom HaShishi, and HaShishi means, says Rashi, Shishi B'Sivan, HaMuchan HaMatnitah. According to Rabbi Yossi, that the child was given on Shvi B'Sivan, what will he do with the Mefarash Pasuk? So that's Tosfos Kasha in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel. I'll read you his Lashon Tema. L'man da'omar b'shiva b'chodesh nitna aseres hadibros. Mai yom hashishi. Yesh Lemar answers Tosfos, Hoy tzaruya li'inotin b'shishi, and l'shoi tziv Moshe yom echad midato. Tosfos is alluding to the Gemara also in these dafim that you learned that daf for learning this week, Givaldik. Shabbos daf Zayin Amud Aleph it says, Tanya Shloisha Dvarim Asa Moshe Midaytoy. The Yiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. Moshe Rabbeinu did three things on his own, free volition, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. The first one is Rosif Yom Echad Midaytoy. He added one more day to the Shloisha Zimei Hagbala, and he pushed off Matan Torah by one day. It was supposed to be on a Friday morning, and it was done on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed? The Lo Shal Yashchina Tzapra De Shabbos. The mere fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his presence dwelt on Matan Torah, was on the Torah was given on Shabbos, that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu's decree. So let's go back to the place of the number of Israel. What's the Chorot Hesed answering? That originally the Torah was supposed to be given on Shishi B'Sivan. But Moshe Rabbeinu pushed it off, and it was given on Shvi B'Sivan. So why does it say Yom HaShishi, Shishi B'Sivan? Because that was the original plan. So what's this saying? That Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, changed things, and therefore the Torah is referring to what should have been Yom HaShishi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, so to speak, responsible for what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu did it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just agreed afterwards. That can't be pshat. But the Maaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew when he wrote the Torah that the Torah will be given on Yom HaShvi, on Shvi Shel Sivan. So why does it say HaShishi? Because what's the understanding in Tosfos Teretz that originally was supposed to be done B'Shishi B'Sivan, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's to blame for pushing it off. But Moshe Rabbeinu did it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him. So how come the Torah and gracious is not referring to that? The davar echad midvarecha lo yashuv rekam. Here the Torah says Yom HaShishi, and mechor, that's not what happened. So that's question number three. Okay? Again, remember, so question number one is the Ma'asheh's question, why do we celebrate Shavuos 24 hours early? Question number two, how come Shavuos is lacking any mitzvah sayon? And question number three, what's the beer to Tosfos Kasha, to Tosfos Teretz, that he says that Yom HaShishi is referring to what originally it should have been, when it was obviously known before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Torah will be given over on Shvi B'Sivan, because Moshe Rabbeinu will make a special limud, Hayom Kemach, Hayom Umacha, right? Ma Macha Leilo Imo, Hayom Leilo Imoi, and the Torah will be given not on a Friday morning, but on a Shabbos morning. Okay. So we'll go on. There's another Gemara in these dafim, and after Shabbos, daf Bechesem Udbeis, Omer Abishah ben Levi, Vishah Sha'Allah Moshe Lamaram, Omer Malachi Asheres Bifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Ma Li Yilud Yishah Beneinu. What is this woman-born person doing here? Amar Lehen Lekabu Tereba, Omer Lefon Avchem Da Gnuza Asher Gnuza Lecha, Shamois Veshivim Va'aba'ah Dairis Kodem Shenivar Olam, אתה מבקש ליתנו לבס עולם? מה האנוש כי תזכרנו ובן אדם כי תזכרנו? השם עדיננו מעד ישים רבו כל הארץ Hashatna Haitcha Al Hashemayim. So the Malachim objected the fact that the Torah should be given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. What did they really object? What were they against? Obviously the Torah could only be kept by human beings. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu answered to them. So what was their Havamina? What did the Malachim understand that the Torah should not be given over to Bas of Adam? So that's our last question for today. Are we speaking to any people that are now sniped by them? No? We're still on that side of the world? Okay. So that's the last question for today. What did the Malachim understand? So to go into this in the Kuda, let's try to bring out a Yisod, which is a big Yisod in the whole concept of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara says in the Masechet Gittin, that Samach Amud Beis, Omar B'Yochanan, L'Koretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Tim Yisrael, Ela B'Shul Dvarim Shebaal Peh, Shenemar Ki Al Pi HaDvarim HaEle, Karat Yitcha Bris Beis Yisrael. So the Gemara in Gittin saying that even though the Torah Shebaal Peh is also called Bris, the Book of the Covenant, Vayikach Et Sefer HaBris, right? But the Krisas Bris is referring to Torah Shebaal Peh. Omar B'Yochanan L'Koretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Yisrael, Ela B'Shul Dvarim Shebaal Peh, Shenemar Ki Al Pi HaDvarim HaEle Karat Yitcha Bris Beis Yisrael. What does that mean? That the Krisas Bris, the cutting off of the bris, is referring only to Torah Shebaal Peh and not to Torah Shebaktav. Even though the Torah Shebaktav is also called bris, Ra'ekach et Sefer HaBris, like the Torah says, but the Krisas Bris is only referring to Torah Shebaal Peh. What does that mean? So when we look at the words Krisas Bris, it's really interesting that L'chora, it appears to be an oxymoron. Krisas is to separate. The most severe punishment in the Torah is called kares, cutting off someone, like the Ramban says, cutting him off from the branch. A bill of divorce, a get, is called sefer krisos. Bris is when two people get together. So what's this odd couple called krisas bris? Kares bris. How do these two words go together? L'chor, they're two opposite words. So Rashi and Chumash took care of it by saying that in those days they used to cut an animal into two parts, and go between its parts. That's what Rashi says in Parshas Lech Lecha and Parshas Mitzvahim, which means that the Krisa is referring to the animal, remember, poor animal, and the two parties are going between the parts of the animal. I guess, trying to bring out, just like the two parts of the animal are two, which are one, so the two parties are going to become one. But the Gaon of Vilna has a different shot on the words Kairos Bris. I heard this grow from Ramon Shapira, Shlita. It's brought down on his commentary to Sefer Yetzirah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches. And the grow has a different beer to the combination of Krisas Bris, which is really an instruction for life. I'll read to you the lesson of the grow. Omar Mechamal Inyan Shul Bris. What does the concept of a bris mean? If one party loves another party like himself, and he would like that the other party should never separate from him, the other party cannot stay by him, he has to go on. So he gives him something that all his aspirations of party A are to it. He gives him an object that all the party A, something very valuable to party A. And they become united by that object. Even though party B takes it away, goes on with it, nevertheless, party A will constantly think about party B because party B took with them something very valuable to party A. The lesson bris to aftocha, sha'idei adover hu v'dayin lo yispared menu. Zel inyan shel krisa. That's what krisa means, separating. Shekeres men adover hadovuklo. That he cuts off something which is attached to him, the noisimo, and he gives it to the other party. The Gemara is saying, Mashu gevaldik. Pashut gevaldik. How do you say Gevaldik in English? Amazing. It sounds better in Yiddish, right? Over there, Gevaldik. What's the Goyim saying? The Goyim saying, how do you make two people into one? Any mathematical equation will tell you that two are not one, and one are not two. How do two people become one? Says the Goyim, I'll tell you how. If each party extends himself, then he includes the other party in him, that's the way that they'll become one. Meaning, mutual sacrifice. If each party cuts off something very, very valuable to him, and he gives it to the other party, and obviously the other party will reciprocate and do the same thing, so you're extending yourself to the other party by giving him something which is very valuable to you, and the other party is you now. There's something of you invested in that other party, so now the other party is an extension of you, and vice versa. That's how two become one. The Maharal practices the same idea by the mitzvah of halva. That there's a mitzvah to give a loan even to rich people. He's been back from the Gemara that the mitzvah of halva is not only to poor. It's not like tzedakah, that the mitzvah is to help out the needy. Rather, the mitzvah of halva is to extend yourself to the other party, that there's something of you by the other party. The word halva literally means to escort. You're not alone. In English it's called alone. In Hebrew it means you're not alone. Okay, it's a kind of pun. I know it's spelled a little bit different, but the idea is that in Lashon HaKodesh, halva means I'm extending yourself to the other party. That's exactly what they're going to explain by Kriyas Bris. Kriyas Bris means that you cut off something which is such a part of you, and you give it to the other party. You sacrifice something, your time, your money, your efforts, whatever, and you give it to the other party, and now it's by that other party, that's how two become one. That's what we're going to explain. Okay, so now let's try and understand according to that. So why is Tzayis Shebal Peh called Krisas Bris? More than Tzayis Shebal Ksav. So let's try to figure out here, what's the main nafkamina between Tzayis Shebal Ksav and Tzayis Shebal Peh? Excluding the fact that one is written and one is oral. So, we all know the famous Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, that the Gemara explains over there that the famous Gemara that there was a Machlokes in the Smedrash, and Rabbi Lezer said, Imalacha Kamoisi, all kinds of different miracles will happen. To the degree that a baskol, a heavenly voice, came out and said, Malachem etz Rabbi Lezer, Shalacha Kamoisa b'chol makom. And the Chachmei v'Samedrash were disagreeing. Omar Rabbi Yeshua al Raglav. That's an interesting lesson of the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua stood on his feet. That means he asserted himself and said, Lo b'shamayimi, Torah is not in heaven anymore. We go after the what the Chachamim understand, because Achei Rabbi Mehatis. And the Gemara goes on saying that Rabbi Nosson afterwards met Eliyahu HaNavi, and he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say then when Rabbi Yeshua did not accept the baskel? And answered Eliyahu HaNavi, Kachoich V'Oma, the Kodesh Baruch Hu laughed or smiled and said, Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni Bonai. My children prevailed over me. This Gemara is bringing out one of the main differences, probably the main difference, between Tzayis Shebal Peh and Tzayis Shebal Ksav. The uniqueness of Tzayis Shebal Peh is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegated authority, and he gave the Chachamim the koyach to decide. And whatever they decide will go. Of course, it has to be only Chachmei HaTorah. Of course, it has to be a few Gimel Midas Shatar and Yidushas them. Of course. But after everything's been said and done, the Chachamim are the ones that have that authority, and whatever they say will be accepted. That's Lashon HaRamban in Chumash on Lotasu Yamin Usmol. Says the Ramban, Afidam Omar Lecha al Yamin Shu Usmol, or Smol Shu Yamin, Even if the Sanhedrin tell you on right which is left and left which is right, you should still listen to them. Ve'inyano, says the Ramban. Afilu tachshob b'nipcha shem to'im. Even if you think in your heart, that the Sanhedrin are making a mistake. V'adavar pashut b'necha kasher ata yodea ben yimincha l'smolcha. It's clear to you, like you could differentiate between right and left, that they're making a mistake. Nevertheless, taseka mitzvasam. Obey their instruction. Don't go ahead and say, how can I eat this prohibited fat or kill this innocent man? And the Rambam concludes, and according to their understanding of the Sanhedrin, the Torah was given, even if they're making a mistake. So what happened in Torah, in Matan Torah, is not only that we received the Torah, which is great, but a lot more happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegated authority, and we are the ones that now call the shots. When I say we, I'm referring to Chachmei Yisrael, who are the Einei HaEda, the Sanhedrin, and they represent the Jewish people. We now have that authority. It's like similar to a medrash, a beautiful medrash in the beginning of Parshas Truma, that the medrash says, "Moshe Melech Sheitah Lo Bas Yechida." Melech had a one and only daughter who reached a marriageable age. Ba'achad min haMelechim u'natah la, so came another king and married her. A young king who married her. Bikesh Melech la'aretz v'lita l'ishto. This young king, after the Shavuot Brachos, wanted to go back to his kingdom, to his homeland, and take with him his newlywed wife. Amar lo, so the old father tells the daughter, the son-in-law. I guess he added, you know, gee, I should have told you before, but I guess it's better than saying it now. What did he tell him? Bitish nesati l'cha yechidisi. My daughter that I gave over to you, she's my only one. Lifrosh mimena eini yochel. To separate from her, I cannot. Lomar l'cha al titla. And to tell you, don't take her. Eini yochel, I also cannot. She's your wife. And Azutuva Aseli, I have one small request. Wherever you go with my daughter, Kitonechat, which means a small room, Aseli, make for me a small room, that I'll live together with you. We'll be the three of us. I cannot forsake my daughter. I don't know how young couples today would like such a kind of solution. But I guess if the Shver is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we won't object. Kach Omer HaKodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, I gave over to you my Torah, before Shemena Eini Yochel, to separate from it, I cannot, V'amar Lechem HaTitlu Eini Yochel, Elo B'chol Mekom Shatem Olchim, Bayit Echad Asu Li Shadu B'Soichoi, Shenemar V'Asu Li Migdash, V'Shachati B'Soichoi. So meaning this Medrash is bringing out that giving over of the Torah was a little painful. The only daughter leaving home. It hurts. But it was done, nevertheless. Why was it done? So Rabbi said, obviously this daughter, which is symbolic of the Torah, is she representing the Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebal Peh? Or both? And no matter what we're learning today, especially it's the Torah Shebal Peh. Just like a daughter before was in her father's rishus, and now she's being transferred over to her husband's rishus, we're dealing with the Torah, which now changed authorities. Initially it was under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority, and now it's under Yisrael's authority. Obviously it's Torah Shebal Peh. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Why did he give up his only daughter that he loves so dearly? Because he wants to make a kesher with us, which will never, ever be nullified. What the Gaon spoke about. This Medrash is actually bringing out the krisus bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through when he gave over to us the Torah. He's giving up his only daughter. And the Maal says in Derech Chaim Paragimel, the Torah is called the Bas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means the extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we mentioned before, it's called Basko, not Benko. A daughter is like an extension of her father, even more than a son is to the father. That's what the Maharal explains in Netzach Yisrael Perek Zayin. The Torah is something very dear and precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he gave it over to Am Yisrael. For what purpose? To make sure that the keshet between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael will never be mizbato. Never. If there would be the daughter involved, so then, if it's only us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe one day we'll misbehave. Who knows what? But once we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's daughter with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never forsake us. In short, we have something of him in us, and that's the Teresh Opeh. Now, of course, it's pressure. That's what the Gemara in Gittin means. L'Kurash HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yisim Yisrael Ela B'Shul Dvarim Shabal Peh. We want to understand before, why is Krisus Bris referring to Teresh Opeh specifically more than Teresh B'Ksav? The way the Gemara explained, Krisus Bris is referring to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut off and gave to us. What did he cut off and give over to us? The Teresh Valpeh, Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni Bonai. We, the Chachmei Torah, the Sanhedrin, have now that authority over the Teresh Valpeh. The Teresh of Ksav, we have no authority over it. If a Bar Mitzvah Bacher reads the Torah, the Parsha, and his Bar Mitzvah Parsha, and he makes the slightest mistake, instead of he said who, the whole Shul is willing to kill him. I heard once from Adam Gadol that how come we're so not tolerant? A young 13-year-old boy is reading the Parsha, and he made a little mistake between bo, he said ba. Because Teresh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have any authority over it. The slightest mistake is puzzle. Teresh, if a Bar Mitzvah Bacher would have read a Mishnah in public, I don't know if he would attack him. If he would have read, instead of Steinmachzim, he would have read Steinmachzim. Mr. Adam wouldn't have corrected his mistake. Mashenge Teresh HaKadosh, we have a zero authority over it. Okay, so that's the Kurdish bris of Teresh HaKadosh. When was the meaning? Now let's go try to answer our other questions. What was question number three? Question number four was the Kurdish bris of the Gaon, right? No, question number three was what did the Malachim object? Alright, what did the Malachim object? Says the Tiferes Yaakov in the Zagdama to Gittin, that's exactly what the Malachim were objecting. Namely, of course the Torah should be given over to people. They understood that. But the authority should not be given over. We should sign the checks. That's what the Malachim were saying. And they phrase it by the words Tna Hoidcha Ala Shamayim. The word Hod says Rav Hutner Zatzal in the Parchat Yitzchak in Chanukah, Hod means the beauty that comes from the word Hodah. When you admit to someone else and you tell him he's right, that's called Hod. Hodah. The Malachim were saying, why are you Moide to people? Why are you delegating the authority and now they're going to call the shots and you Hashem will be Moide to them? And by saying Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni Bonai, Tna Hoidcha Ala Shamayim. Keep your Hoidah in heaven. Do not admit and delegate authority to human beings. That's what the Malachim were against. Now, Dabar Zeh Iru Malach Hashem, as I'm reading the Lashon of the Agdala to Perez Yaakov, Shehem Ratzu Shiyisrael Yitanu Mitzvot HaTorah, Kefi Asher Yaskim Olem in HaShamayim, Vishalol Pi Novi Obu'un V'tumim, Lo Shiyishlutu Yisrael Ba, That's what the Malachim were against. Don't delegate the authority. And Moshe Rabbeinu, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? How did he convince them that the authority should be delegated? That, Rabbi said, please look up at the Agdama to the Tiferes Yaakov to Gittin. You'll see how he explains it. But the Malachim, that's what their Havamina. Do not delegate the authority to our people, and that's Tna Hoitcha L'Shamayim. There's a special beauty when people admit that they're wrong. I'll just tell you a little story. Once when I was a bocher, I had Baruch Hashem a very close shaykhus to Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner Zatzal. And we used to communicate in Hebrew. I lived then in Israel already. And he didn't feel that comfortable in English. I didn't feel that comfortable in Yiddish. So we spoke in Hebrew. And I said over to him once the word l'shachnea, which is a common word here in Hebrew, which means to persuade. Reuben persuaded Shimon to do something, so in Hebrew you say Reuben shichnea et Shimon. So Rav Hutner told me never use that word again. It's an impure word. It's tamei. And I couldn't understand why it's so terrible. So I asked him, could the Rashiba please explain why the word l'shachmea is such a negative word? He said, look at the root of l'shachmea. The root is kaf nun ayin. Right? The shin is added like l'shachper, l'shachver, etc. Kaf nun ayin is kanas, to surrender. Which means that when you say the word l'shachmea, you're saying over that if I persuade someone to agree to me, that other person surrendered. If I agree to someone else, I surrendered. I gave up. I was nichna. And we're going to say that that's definitely not the Jewish outlook. If I agree that I'm wrong, it's a gvura. It's not a knia. I'm not being surrendered. On the contrary, that's the midah of hod, not the midah of kana. So therefore, that's what the malachim were complaining. We're saying, kana hoitcha l'shamayim. When was the first time that we used that authority? That the Chachmei Torah used their authority, and whatever they said went. The first time is when Moshe Rabbeinu pushed off Matan Torah by one day. Through a limud of Torah Shabbat, like you rabbis have learned on the second Shabbos, Hayom Machar, Hayom Kimachar, Ma Machar Leilo Imoy, Af Hayom Leilo Imo. The first manifestation of the delegation of this authority was by Moshe Rabbeinu pushing off Matan Torah by one day. That's what the Beis Halevi says in Parshas Yisroel. And he goes on saying, that's our Shavuos. We are not commemorating the day that we heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That was a day later. We are commemorating that Friday that nothing happened. So what's that to commemorate? That Moshe Rabbeinu was given the keys to decide whatever should be done. It's like you get the keys of the car before you get the car, but once you get the keys, you're already a stickle biling. Our Shavuot is commemorating the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the Chachmei Torah, were given the authority to decide how Torah should be given and how Torah should be interpreted. Matan Torah is also Torah. That we'll see later if we have time to go into that. Pushing off Matan Torah was the first manifestation of this authority that Chachmei Torah have. And instead of the Torah being given over on Shishi B'Sivan, the Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, was said on Shmi B'Sivan. So what happened on Shishi B'Sivan? Absolutely nothing. So what's there to celebrate? The authority. What's happening behind the scenes? Well, I'll read you the Lashon of the Beis Halevi in Parshas Yisroel. And he was in saying, Taka Inyan. וקידשתם היום ומחר ומויש רבנו הוסיף יום אחד מידתו תדרש היום כמחר והסכים הקדש בוחו על ידוי הקדש בוחו הגביד אותם ולא ידע שכין עד למחר ונמצא בזוי סמטנה שהתורה ניתנה לישראל וכפי שידרשו כן יהיה this present, this authority that whatever goes, whatever חכמה צריך say will be accepted האמת היה בשישי בסיבן that was given on שישי בסיבן The fact that there was no Shechina on that day is the biggest victory of humankind. So this lady is Mechanish that on Shishi B'Sivan was Matan from the word Matana. We received this authority. On Shvi B'Sivan was Kabbalah Satar. Our Shavuos, like we say in the davening, is Matan Torah. B'Yom Matan Torah Seinu, we say. We don't say Kabbalah Torah Seinu. B'Yom Matan Torah Seinu. The Beis Halevi adds the word, it goes into saying Torah Seinu. It's ours. Not Matan Torah. Matan Torah Seinu. It became ours. Our Shavuos is celebrating the delegation of that authority which took place on Shishi B'Sivan. Actually, nothing took place. But what really took place is the delegation of that authority. Matan Torah. The Malam Tiferet Yisrael Perek of Zion also says that Yom HaChamishim was Matan Torah and Yom HaChamishim Ve'echad was Kabbalah Satan. Now, I guess we could start answering our questions here. Why is there no Mitzvah Yom on Shavuos? The Mitzvah Yom are derived from the event which took place on that day. On Pesach, we left Mitzrayim to Chippozim, so there's Matzahs. On Rosh Hashanah, there's Yom Adin, it's Shofar. Yom HaKippurim is Kapara. There's Tanis, etc. Sukkot, that in that COVID came back, etc. What happened on Shavuos? Nada. Garnished. Klum. Nothing. That's what happened on Shavuos. Which event took place? Nothing. How do you bring out nothing? The most accurate way to bring out nothing is through nothing. There's no mitzvah tayom on Shavuos because there was no event on Shishi B'Sivan. Behind the scenes, there was a great event, but actually no event took place. Friday morning, if we would have been there, we would have seen that nothing was doing. That's our Shavuos. That's because there's no mitzvah tayom on Shavuos. Why do we celebrate Shavuos 50 days on the 50th day when Aseres Hadibros was given on the 51st day? That's exactly the point. Our Shavuos is not the day that we heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Our Shavuos is a day that nothing happened. We're commemorating the day that we got the authority over the Torah. And that happened on the 50th day. On that Friday, Shishi B'Sivan. We pass him like Rabbi Yossi. So what does Tosfos mean in Avodah Zarah when he said it says Yom HaShishi that Moshe Rabbeinu pushed it off? So the whole way Tosfos saying that originally the plan was Shishi, Moshe Rabbeinu caused some kind of confusion. That's not what Tosfos meaning. Tosfos is saying the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has the ability to push it off, that's our Yom HaShishi. What happened on Shishi is that we saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had this power. So that shows that on Shishi B'Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the authority over the Torah. Consequently, we are celebrating that. The Seder of us says, so we concluded our questions here, and this is what comes out from the Adopim and the Shabbos, that our Shavuos is to commemorate that we have the authority of a Torah of Peh. If anybody has a chance to think about it, you'll see that that's become, it's the only night of the year that we all stay up. Even though it's not written anywhere in the Gemara to stay up, it's not written in the Shulchan Aruch to stay up, it's brought down in the Zohar to stay up. So suddenly we all became a Kubalim. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, we should stay up and Laila Seder. I don't know how many people do that. Asher Techtatena Shena. But Shavuos, everybody stays up. Everybody. Because staying up at night is showing the idea of Torah Shabbat Peh. Am Yisrael understood that staying up at night on Lel Shavuos is the heart of Shavuos. We are celebrating that we have this authority. But once you have the authority, you have to have the know-how. Once you have to get the know-how, you have to toil and work with all your kliches to try to be in charge. Once you're in charge, make sure you know what you're doing. So that's staying up at night. That's the Shavuos night. Okay, now, I just want to conclude with two points. Point number one, Matan Torah is part of Torah. I'll prove it to you. The Gemara says that, in the Gemara in Brochus, the Gemara says that in those days the Baal Keri was not allowed to learn Torah, because the giving of the Torah has to be at the same state of mind that the Jewish people were at Matan Torah. And just like at Matan Torah, they were be'ema u'be'yira u'be'reta du'be'zeah. They were trembling in fear. That's the state of mind that you have to be when you learn Torah. But l'chore, the fear in Matan Torah was from the fire, from the shofar, not from the Torah itself. So why, when you're learning alone at home, let's say at night, hopefully there's no fire around, so what are you afraid of? So obviously the Matan Torah is revealing to us what Torah is about. Torah is fire. Meaning, Rabbi Salahavio, we're used today in the world that there's like an opening ceremony for something, which has nothing really to do with what will be followed. Lahavdil, let's take a dugma from Inyanei Chulin. The opening ceremony of the Olympics, so there's balloons and there's birds and flowers and who knows what. And the Olympics themselves, there will not be birds and balloons and flowers. So why are there balloons and flowers and birds in that ceremony of the opening ceremony? Because the opening ceremony has nothing to do with what will follow. Someone may make a mistake that Matan Torah, which was a ceremony of giving over the Torah, has nothing to do with the Torah that was given over afterwards. That's not the case. As the Maral explains in Drush al Torah, there was fire in Torah and Matan Torah because the Torah is fire. And since they were afraid from the fire, that means you have to be afraid from the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu pushed off Matan Torah, he's pushing off not the opening ceremony, he's pushing off something which is Torah itself. So therefore, it's the first manifestation of the authority that we have over Torah, not only the authority over the ceremony of giving over the Torah. The word ceremony is probably the wrong word to use, of course. Matan Torah is part and parcel of Torah itself. That's point number one. I just want to conclude with another point. In the Grand Shabbos after the Tesam with Beis, Amar Rebbo, Har Sinai Shmo, V'lama Nika Har Chorev, She'yar V'chuva La'akum Olav. So why is it called Har Chorev, which is the word Churban? Because the Umos Olam were destructed. Really? Were they? In what way? They weren't even there. In what way were the Umos Olam Chorev? To the degree that it's called Har Chorev She'er V'chuva La'Umos Olam Olav. What Churban happened to the Umos Olam as a result of Matan Torah? So here the Maral speaks about this in the Be'er HaGoyla, Be'er Avi, and he says something Me'od Manyan. He brings down the Medrash which says in Bereshit Rabba, Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kama Olamos V'Hichvilan. Because Baruch Hu created many worlds and destroyed them till he reached the world that he likes. So the Sefer Be'er HaGoyla is what the Maral dedicated to try to explain Chazals which people would mock and make fun of. And that Chazal in the Bereshit Rabba, people would mock and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what he wants, he has to create worlds and destroy worlds till he reaches what he wants. Even human beings don't do that. So explain to the Maral that the Medrash means Kipshutai, meaning for sure the world was only one and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created only one world. So what does it mean, Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kama Olamos V'Hichvilan? We know that the world is divided into four categories. Domen, Tzomeach, Chai, Medaber. This comes from Maaseh Bereishis, that the first 2 days of the Bria there was Mayim, only Domen. And then on Tuesday started the Tzomeach, trees, etc. On Wednesday was already the Chayas, the fish, and Thursday too, and Friday came Adam. Says the Rambam Yisroel, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced to the world a more sophisticated dimension, which did not exist previously, that in itself is the destruction of the previous dimension. Whenever let's say water was the Ikra Bria on Sunday and Monday, Yom Rishon Rishani, and then came Tzomeach, trees. So what happened to water on Tuesday? They became Tafel, secondary to the Ikra. Something that went through from the Ikra and becoming a Tafel, that's its destruction. You know, just imagine in the stock world today, if someone tomorrow is going to come out with a software which will be even more advanced and easier to use and better than Windows. So what's going to happen overnight to Mr. Bill Gates and to Windows? It will be obsolete over one night. Why? It's not the best anymore. But it's second best. That's okay. That's the sort of the morale. When you were number one and then you go down to number two, it's like being destroyed. Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kama Olamos V'Hichvilan means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced every time to the world a new dimension which in itself destructed the previous one. what? Destroyed the previous one. Till time was given to the Jewish people, and that's why it's called Har Chorev. The Gemara is connecting it to this Gemara, meaning that since the Ummah Sa'alim were offered the Torah, they rejected it. Consequently, they are not what they used to be before. Instead of being the Ikar Bria, they became Am Yisrael, became Ikar Bria, and they're Meshamesh Am Yisrael. I'll give you a few examples to show this, what happened, that things changed by Ummah Sa'alim as a result of Matan Torah. What would you say? Are Goyim Mitzuvah and Pura Via to be fruitful and multiply? It's not one of the seven mitzvahs of Noach. But nevertheless, it was told to other mission and to Noach than non-Jews. Are they obligated today in mitzvahs Pura Via? So Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that from Tesla Mudbeis, up to Matan Torah they were, from Matan Torah and on, they're not. Gemara says that from Tesla Mudbeis, call mitzvah Shalom Chazala, right? Explain to Gemara in Bereishis Perek Daled, why? Before Matan Torah, they were also Ikar Habriya. But once Torah took place, so now they're not part of the Ikar of the Briya. What the Navi Yeshayahu says on them, Kol HaGoyim Ka'aynigdo Me'efes V'tahu Nechshevulo. This is from Matan Torah and on. The ultimate purpose of Pura Via is to remove emptiness from the world. Like the Navi Yeshayahu says also, L'tol Bra'a L'shevet Yitzah. But having the world populated by people that live an empty lifestyle, if the world is still empty, we don't accomplish removing emptiness by emptiness. Therefore, the mitzvah of Pura Via, from now on, from Matan Torah and on, is only to the Ikar of Torah, to Am Yisrael. I'll give you another example. The word Re'eu, which is darshan in the world in the Torah, in the Gemara many times, which means to exclude non-Jews. Kigach ish shor el. Kigach shor ish shor el. Re'el v'lep k'nayni. Right? Like the Gemara says in Bava Kala. What do you say about the pasuk, v'sha'al ish me'et re'el, v'isha me'et re'usa, klei kesa v'chlei zav? They have the mitzvah called re'el. Says the Rebbeinu B'chai on the spot. Right over there at Shmoyz, Per Gidal, with plastic base, before Matan Torah, also the Goyim were called re'el. After Matan Torah, Re'el was only Yisrael. The Ma'am Sof and Baron Goyler explains a third example. Before Matan Torah, the Goyim had many, many prophets, many, many Nevi'im. He brings a message that says that. After Matan Torah, the Nebuah is only by Yisrael. Which brings out that concept of what Rabbi Vol is speaking about. Har Sinai Shmo. V'lam nikra Har Choreb. She'er Dechuba. The fact, what's the chorban that took place? That they're not part of the Ikar anymore. Living a life without Torah is a life which is not Ikar. And therefore, one of the names of Har Sinai is Har Chorev. You know, virtually the Gemara at the end of Zvachim, Tavkuf Tzayin explains that Kishanit Natara, so Ba'u Umas Oilam Labila Malasha, and they asked him, what's this terrible noise that we hear? Shema Mabul Balaylam. Is there a flood in the world? So they'll say, no, there's no more flood. After Noach, there's no more flood. So what's this noise? So he told them, it's Matan Torah. Hashem Oz. Ba'amu Yitin. Amdu Kulam Ba'amu, Hashem Yivarech, Es Amo Bashon. Epic Marim Zvachim, Daf Kuf Tzayin Amud Aleph. Why did they sing it's a Mabul? Because it was a terrible noise. So why does it have to be a Mabul? What's the understanding of that Gemara? Because giving over the Torah to Am Yisrael is a churban to Ummah Sa'alim. The Goyim felt that something is happening to them. And since the last time that they were destroyed was in the Dmus of a Mabul, they thought maybe a Mabul is reoccurring again. Bilam and Rishta told them, you're right in what you feel. There is now a churban taking place, but not in the shape and form of a Mabul, but rather in the shape and form of Torah. That the Torah is the Ikar of the Bria, and those who don't take part in it are considered second. That's what's happening here. Amdu kulam v'amru, Hashem yivarech es amu v'shalom. Since when do Goyim bless Am Yisrael. But here is when they had a glimpse of what's really happening in the Bria, they understood that the Torah is Ikar. And if the Am Yisrael will not learn Torah, they're not going to exist either. Like what the Nefesh HaChaim says in Shara Dara, that if one, there'll be Chas HaShem any minute, that someone will not be learning Torah, the whole world will be destroyed. The Graham understood at that moment, because it was illustrated to them, that through Matan Torah, they're now totally dependent on Am Yisrael. Therefore, they blessed Am Yisrael, you should have the koiches to learn and to shtag, because our existence is dependent on you doing so. That's what comes up in that parasha of the Torah is called Oz. Hashem Oz, Ramu Yitzhak. Oz means powerful. They saw that the Torah is so powerful because the Torah causes that whoever doesn't accept it is considered destroyed. I want to end up just with a question, and Roberto will think about it. But nevertheless, why is Har Sinai having a non-Jewish name? Har Choreb Shemisham Yad Chuban Umas Olam. Couldn't you find a Jewish name for it? After all, it, for us, it's the Har of Bchira. We were chosen to it. The words Chorev are the words, have the words Bchira in it, Bachar. So why is it called Har Bocher? Why is it named after what happened to the non-Jews more than what happened after what happened to the Jews? Lachor, we could have found a Jewish name to Har Sinai, and not necessarily a gentle one. So by that you'll think about why Dafka, the name of Har Sinai, which brings out the koyach of Torah, is brought, illustrated through what happened to the Goyim, and not through what happened to Am Yisrael. So I just want to conclude that, as we see, the learning of Torah is the yesod and the kiyum of the whole world. Everything is totally on it. One of the main accomplishments of Daf Yomi, here led here by Rabbi Goyen with Moshe Kornfeld Shlita and his Gebaldika team, is that every day there's learning, constantly. There's probably no moment, it guarantees what the Nefesh HaChaim said, there'll be no moment that Chas HaShalom won't be anybody learning. There's Daf Yomi all over the world. There has to be people learning constantly. And the key of the world is totally on Lemdei Daf Yomi. Who learn day in, day out, and recover the altar, and they are the ultimate Iker of the Bria. So I want to conclude with the bracha that Lemdei HaTorah received in Matan Torah. Hashem Oz L'Amo Yiten. Hashem Yivarech Es Amoy B'Shalom.